the Policy and Resources Committee of Thursday the 21st of September. So as you will note, I have changed the order of proceedings slightly to ensure that we deal with all of the time-sensitive issues first. So for example, we have a statutory obligation to approve our statement of accounts by the end of this month. That's set in statute, and what I did not want to risk is dealing with that until later on in the agenda and run the risk of it not being dealt with. Also, I wanted to deal with some of the issues such as Milton Moons quite early in the agenda, despite it being Part B, because that all is also quite time limited. Okay? So we'll proceed through the agenda. The first item is the emergency evacuation procedure. Please can the Interim Chief Executive confirm if there are any fire evacuations planned this evening?
Thank you, Chairman. No, we have no planned evacuations, and the points for exiting are under the green sign here at the back of the room or here, and then we congregate in the car park. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Slater. Moving on to apologies for absence, please can the committee clerk confirm if there are any apologies for absence?
There are two apologies for absence. Councillor Paul Andrews, the substitute is Councillor Burr, and Councillor William Oxley, and the substitute is Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you. So proceeding on to agenda item 3, which is the minutes of the Policy and Resources meeting held on the 15th of June 2017 and the meeting of the Extraordinary Policy and Resources Committee on the 24th of August 2017. As Chairman of the Committee, I move those minutes. Is that seconded? So the Vice Chairman has seconded. Do members have any comments on the minutes? Councillor Mrs Cowlin. Okay, I'm happy with that. So unless any member objects, I presume that we accept that amendment and amend the minutes accordingly. I don't think it's possible to offer apologies retrospectively. Okay. Although I believe, Councillor Raper, that you were unable to attend the committee due to a resolution of council earlier this year. So I don't know what the situation is.
Yeah. I think I was just outside. Yeah.
Okay, so it's in it. Okay. But we will reflect the minutes to take into account of that. Any other comments on the minutes? No, in which case, as they have been moved and seconded, we will now proceed to the vote.
That's 8 votes for and 1 abstention.
Okay, thank you. So the minutes are carried. Moving on to agenda item 7, which is urgent business, I can confirm that there is no urgent business this evening. Proceeding to agenda item 8, declarations of interest. Do any members have any interest to declare under the Code of Conduct regime? Councillor Arnold.
Pardon? Item 10, Creative Economy. I'm a trustee of Helmsley Art Centre. Because I represent the council there, that's why.
Okay, please can you confirm if this is a personal or prejudicial or pecuniary interest?
Well, I consider it is personal. I mean, but not prejudicial. But I will ask.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Arnold. Are there any other declarations of interest? Councillor Mrs Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. It's just a general one that I normally make. I am a North Yorkshire County Councillor. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other declarations of interest? Councillor Mrs Goodrick.
On that basis, I'm a North Yorkshire County Councillor, but I'm not sure it has any bearing on what we're doing tonight. But if it is, I've declared that interest just in case.
So it does relate to the Moulton and Pickering cycle route, and I will brief you why later on, but there is a potential interest there.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll take your advice then.
Thank you. In the interest of transparency, I'll also declare an interest, as I have had representations from the chairman of Rydell Cameras in Action in relation to that item, which I consider to be a personal interest. Thank you. So proceeding on to agenda item 9, which is the statement of accounts. Okay. So the statement of accounts are outlined on page 23 of your agenda papers, and it's to adopt for this council to approve the statement of accounts relating to the 2016-17 year. Now, how I intend to deal with this item, along with all other items, is that I will introduce the item as chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee. Under the Constitution, members have a right to ask me a question, which I will deal with at the beginning of an item. However, I've listened carefully to members' feedback regarding technical questions when posed to officers. Now, I do not intend to move back to a situation where we have all types of questions being asked, and also members are asking questions that are dealt with within the report. However, following feedback, I will accept a technical question from a member of a committee, and if it is in my opinion a technical question, I may defer to the officer for an answer. I will then allow one supplementary question. Okay? So, in relation to the statement of accounts, are there any questions? No, in which case, as chairman of this committee, I move the officer recommendation. Is that seconded? Councillor Arnold seconds. Okay. I have an amendment that I wish to move in relation to this item, which the committee clerk will now distribute. Okay, so while the amendment is being distributed, the first one is to add wording to note 4 on the narrative statement, page 30 of the agenda, directly under the table. And it's been amended to add the amount of surplus which has been added to the New Homes Bonus Reserve and General Reserve as follows. I quote, in overall terms, the council achieved a surplus of £1.258 million for the financial year when compared to budgeting planned expenditure with actual expenditure. The surplus for the year has been allocated to the council's New Homes Bonus and General Reserve. And then in addition to that, I want to add wording under note 32 of the accounts, offices remuneration, to be amended to add the following note, that the corporate director left the authority on the 30th of September 2016, and the remuneration highlighted in the table excludes any termination benefits which are highlighted in note 32. So I am moving this recommendation, and the vice chairman is seconding. Okay, just to explain the reason for this amendment, the first one is to make clear that of the surplus that we achieved last year, so much is going into the General Reserve and so much is going into the New Homes Bonus. For those who were present at the Resources Working Party, you may remember that I questioned why, for example, we have got £500,000 worth of reserves going into the operational fund. And I was concerned of that as a member because that's got less scrutiny than, say, the General Reserve or the operational reserve. The reason for the increase in the operational reserve is that it relates to some housing funding and is a cash flow issue. That does not relate to the underspend. The underspend from the budget is being, first of all, put back into the New Homes Bonus, and is also the additional amount is being put into the General Reserve. Both of these funds have to be approved by full council before any money is spent from them. Now, I just, after speaking with the Chief Financial Officer, we thought that this note would help explain the situation in the interest of transparency. In addition to that, when you turn to note 32, which deals with officer remuneration, it is not clear on that section of the annual statement that the corporate director received quite a significant payment from this council due to redundancy. And so, once again, in the interest of transparency, it's just making that clear in the annual accounts. I hope that explains it. It's quite technical, but hopefully it's just helping explain the accounts and making them more transparent. Do members have anything to say on the issue of the the amendment before us? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Sorry, Chairman, when you say have we got anything to say, are you meaning that you'd like us to debate it?
Yes,
or
yes.
Are you asking
if you wish to ask a question, you may ask a question in the Constitution.
All right, I'll let Councillor Wainwright.
Councillor Wainwright. I perhaps had an error in my pronunciation there. It's 39. Apologies, Councillor Wainwright, on page 62. So page 62 actually refers to page 62 of the annual statement. So if you refer to 87 of your agenda papers on page 62 of the annual accounts, and note 87. On page 62 of the statement of accounts. Okay, so you will note there that we've got termination. Yeah, so it's linking note 32, which deals with the remuneration of chief officers, which is on page 82 of the agenda paper, and page 57 of the statement of accounts. It's linking those two, so that if you were reading note 32 in isolation, you would be aware that that line regarding the corporate director does not show the full payment that he received in the year due to a termination benefit. Please bear with me. Okay. Any questions or does any members wish to speak? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Right, so now we've got that little glitch sorted out. I thought I was going mad there for a moment. I don't have any problems with this, actually. And to be quite honest, I would have been disappointed if you hadn't have probably picked that up, because it's what you do for your living. And I think it actually tidies it up quite nicely. And I think for transparency, I think that it's just something that we need to do. I don't think that Pete's done anything wrong in by not splitting it up, but I can see exactly why you've done that. So I can't see any reason that I don't think it's controversial or political. I think that's absolutely fine, and I do think that we need to make it clear about the corporate director who left this this employment. Yeah, so I'm happy with that.
Thank you. Do any of the members wish to speak on this amendment? No, in which case, as it is moved and seconded, I will proceed to the vote.
That's unanimous.
Thank you. So the amendment is passed. Do members wish to speak on the substantive item? No, in which case, once again, as it is moved and seconded, we will now proceed to the vote.
That's unanimous again.
Thank you. So we will now move on to the next agenda item this evening, which is agenda item 14, and it relates to the Milton Rooms redevelopment project. So the recommendation is that this council use a new Hearn's bonus reserve towards the Milton Room redevelopment project, which totals £321,160. There has been a slight amendment to the officer recommendation, which will now be distributed, and it's to make clear that any funds that this council gives are dependent on joint funding, so that the other funds being released. Okay, because this amendment is coming forward from the officers before we actually deal with this item, I will not be dealing with this as a separate amendment. It's just a revised officer recommendation. So we will be voting upon and moving the revised officer recommendation, which is now being distributed.
Sorry, are we talking about the
number of results? I've got CCTV. Oh, dear. Have you had the wrong one handed out?
Some people have got the wrong one.
Some people
have got
the wrong one. Okay, so do members have any questions? So do members have any questions in relation to the Milton Rooms item? Councillor Mrs Goodrick.
May I just ask a question, Chairman, because obviously this is a great deal of money and I am encouraged by the proposals that we saw this evening, but I would like to know whether it's our intention to ring fence that money for this project or not.
Yes. So this these funds will be ring fenced out to the new Hearn's bonus reserve, but they will only be released upon this project going ahead due to joint funding. Okay? Any other questions? Councillor Bailey.
So, just listening to the presentation, Chairman, there's parts one and two. Presumably, I support the amendment, because what we wouldn't want to do is to commit that money if HLF doesn't come in. But obviously, one part's dependent on HLF and the other part's dependent on something else. So, is the match funding split in the sense that if HLF comes in, we pay the 171? But we wouldn't pay the other unless the match funding for part two came in.
That is correct. Your understanding is correct. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. And thanks to our officers for putting this forward. And what I wanted to ask is, that seems absolutely fine to me. As a council, we need to be belt and braces. We have an obligation to support the Milton Rooms, etc., etc. But what I would like to ask you, Chairman, is that we've got this money, and hopefully it's been ring fenced. And if we agree at full council that we go ahead with that, that is brilliant, just what we want. But have we actually spoken to the committee? Because I don't know if this has been discussed with the committee. Are they aware of what we are actually saying? Because I think it's quite important that we actually know that we're all working together on this. So I would hate to agree to something, and then, because it wasn't mentioned in the presentation, they say, well, actually, if you'd have just said that, or I don't want to jeopardise the bid at any point, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, so I can confirm that officers have been working in close communication with the Milton Rooms Management Committee, and this council also has a representative on the Milton Rooms Management Committee, which is Councillor Acomb. Now, Councillor Acomb, I don't know if you've got anything which you would like to add to that, and so we'll allow you to address Councillor Mrs. Burr directly on the issue of communication between this council and the committee, should you wish to add anything extra. Okay, thank you, Councillor Acomb.
You're on.
I'm on. What I'd like to say is just that in this process that we've come to now, is that I've spent an inordinate amount of hours with them on this plan, and that they have been in constant contact with officers here, some of us sat at the back of the room, and that everything that you've been discussing, they are fully aware of, and they fully understand that they have an obligation to it. One thing I would like just to bring up, though, is if they get the HLF bill, let's say we get the HLF bills, and we put the match funding to it, there still is a requirement from HLF to ensure that there's a project manager, such as Liz Whitehouse. That is a requirement of HLF. Now, in this monies, that isn't as clear as it could be. In other words, I am not certain. I'm pretty certain that HLF are not putting it into their money. We've got to ensure that we keep a project manager on this job. Now, up to now, as she told you, she got that money that was funded from Creative Economy. We will still need to cover that amount of money for a post to keep the project online, wherever it comes from. Well, when you say what amount is that, it depends on how much we want, how much hours they've got to be put into it. If we take it the same as she's doing now, I think she does 3 days a week. And I think, I don't know what the figure was we put in from a creative economy. Can somebody tell me? I can't remember. 12,000. Was it 12,000? So it's going to be in the region of 12,000 to 15,000. I can't be specific. But that would be a requirement from HLF that there would be a project manager, whatever you like to call it, there.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Aikum. Councillor Mrs. Bird, do you have a supplementary?
Yes. So, I think I understand that you are 100% behind this, but you're concerned that there's not any wording in of an additional wording about the 12,000 for the paid post. And what I would be asking you, would you be happy then for this to be another line or an addition that we can move forward with? Because, like I say, I don't want to agree to anything that may jeopardise, or we don't want any surprises at full council, or we've done this and then suddenly, you know, it can't go forward. I want to be absolute belt and braces. So I guess, Chairman, through you, if Councillor Aikum could say or tell us what we need, and then maybe we could make sure that that's in, Chairman, if that's okay with you.
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Burr. We'll go to Councillor Aikum for his answer, as you requested. However, before I do that, I'll just deal with the procedural side of things. This evening, the Council will be dealing with an item on the creative economy, which is Agenda Item 10. And on there is a line which allocates £12,000 towards an officer to continue with the bid funding. Now, should you know, I get members' concerns that you would not want to commit this huge amount of money only for the £12,000 not to be subsequently granted. In turn, that would jeopardise the whole project. If you wish to move an amendment which allocates that £12,000 now as part of this item and take it out of the creative economy item, which will be dealt with under Agenda Item 10, I'm happy to deal with it in that way because it seems sensible. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Aikum.
Well, my take would be that it would be better if this was put in at this stage, and that this project, which is going to run for 2 years before it actually gets into putting bricks down or knocking down or whatever, so there's going to be 2 years of management of some description. So I think I would like you to put in, or like you to say, that there will be a cost for project management over this period of 2 years, Whether you want to put a figure on it, I don't know, because quite frankly, we said 12,000. If it needs more, I don't know how you do that. I just want it recorded that there's somebody should be in place. I can't do that. Okay, so we'll have to put a figure against it.
Yeah. We have a figure against it, and there is a figure under the creative economy.
Okay, all
of
right,
course,
we'll leave it.
It could be up to this council to extend that if required at the time.
Okay,
Councillor
fine.
Mrs. Cowling.
I cannot imagine that the people who have driven this project this far haven't included in their cost for a project manager. The money that we have set aside in the Creative Economy Commissioning is not solely to provide a project manager for the Milton Rooms. It is to provide the creative hub in Southern Rydale. And I think if you have any doubts that the Milton Rooms Management Committee haven't provided for a project manager, then you could add to your amendment small three, subject to the retention of a project manager for the duration of the project.
Okay, we will be dealing with amendments when we actually move the recommendation itself. Currently, we are at questions, so if members have any questions, please ask them now. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. To pick up on what's been said around the room this evening, you know, I've never been as encouraged with the Milton Rooms bid as I was tonight, and I've not been a big supporter of the Milton Rooms in the past, and I openly admit that. But without Liz Whitehouse driving it forward, I don't think it'll succeed. I'm really sorry. You need somebody like Liz to drive that forward. And I do think we need to make sure that there is money there to support her. However, I suspect we need the commitments from Moulton and Norton, because they've put money in to support Liz in that role. And I don't know whether we can make that commitment without knowing what their position is.
So, is that a question? Okay. So we need clarification on whether if the creative economy, for example, never went ahead, whether that would jeopardise this project. Okay, so the cost of the development officer are included in both bids. The creative commissioning item does not relate to the bid officer. So as Councillor Mrs. Cowling correctly pointed out, there are two different items and therefore an amendment wouldn't be necessary. So apologies for any confusion there. It has been clarified. Okay? Thank you. Are there any other questions? No, in which case I will move the recommendation as chairman of the committee and Councillor Arnold is seconding the recommendation. Okay, Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yes, Chairman, and thank you very much for agreeing that that was a mix-up, because whatever happens moving forward, we do not want this to fail. And For too long, this council has been saying we'd like to support the Milton Rooms, the project's not right. For various reasons, it hasn't moved forward. I think, after listening to the presentation the first time and listening to it again tonight, I honestly think that this is the time that we can get together, we can work cross-party, we can look at this project and we can think we all could back it. It's a fantastic opportunity. It's quite apparent that we've got a passionate team working there who want it to succeed. And it is being driven by somebody. It needs a paid person to drive it through. With any business, with any project, you've got to have somebody in a paid position to make it work. Now, there may be quite a few councillors that will say, well, you know, it's Moulton. And yes, it is Moulton, but it's Moulton, it's Norton, it's actually the whole of Rydale. And I don't have to tell you all how many events go on at the Milton Rooms. And like Malton, it's becoming the food capital. Wouldn't it be fantastic if, you know, the capital of Rydale had, you know, this fantastic building? Yeah? Fantastic building that is fit for purpose and that we all could take pleasure in going to. And we do breed an awful lot. We don't talk about the dance and the theatrical arts, but we do have a lot of people who come through the Milton Rooms and perform at the Milton Rooms and now are at the West End. You know, there's a lot to be said for having a really, really good building. So I hope that it's not going to be political. I think we have got the right proposal in front of us. I think that I'm pleased that we don't have to be belt and braces, and the money for the person that to move the project forward is provided for somewhere else. I'm happy with that, and I only hope that we, as I say, we can work together, and I think now's the time that the Milton Rooms should have its long-deserved refurbishment. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Burr. Councillor Mrs. Arnold, did you indicate beforehand? Okay, apologies, I must have caught you. Yes, okay, so Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm happy to support this, but the point is the HLF, isn't it? And it hinges upon that, and I'm quite sure that the first bid will take account of such requirements as there are, but also my experience of HLF is that they may come up with things that we haven't thought about, and so it's impossible to second guess what HLF are going to say to us. They may come back with conditions, they may do whatever, and so all we can do now in my view is to go forward with this project as proposed and see what HLF come up with.
Thank you, Councillor Bailey. Councillor Mrs. Cowlin.
For 26 years I've watched recommendations come forward on the Milton Rooms, and for 26 years I've seen them come forward and fail, and I think this is the best chance we've ever had of providing a creative hub in Malton. I think it will be a real asset to the town and to the whole of Rydale, and I would always be prepared to go that extra mile to make sure that this does succeed. It's a big commitment for this council. I'm not saying it's not a lot of money, but wouldn't it be lovely to put a massive tick at the side of this project?
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Cowling. Do any other members wish to speak? No. In which case, I'll come back to Councillor Arnold, seconder.
No, I'm fine. I think everybody said everything, and that report that lady provided just said everything, I think, really.
Okay, thank you. sure. Thank you, Councillor Arnold. Just quickly for myself, as members are aware, I've been quite sceptical on the issue of the Milton Rooms previously, and when we've had bids come forward for several millions of pounds, I've been highly sceptical, and I was doubtful whether it was justifiable to use those sums of taxpayers' money. Like it or not, we are responsible for the Milton Rooms for the next 950, I think it's about 50 years around that, and we are responsible for both the internal and external maintenance of the building. Fortunately, we have got the Milton Rooms Management Committee, who, if this goes ahead, will take over the running costs of the internal maintenance. And, you know, there is an awful lot of maintenance to do. So we've got three boilers, one which is about prehistoric, two which are just about to go bust as well. In addition to that, we've got a fire alarm signal which is not compliant. All of these cost huge sums of money. And I think there is a sound business case as well for the council to contribute towards this and attract funding from elsewhere in the hope that it may lower our liability moving forward. But of course that's not the only reason, and the benefits as well for the community at a whole I think will pay dividends. So therefore, I think this is the first Milton Women's proposal which I can say I wholeheartedly support, and it's great to see that there is such strong cross-party consensus on this item. So we will now proceed to the vote. Thank you.
That's unanimous.
Yes, just to confirm, I don't think all of the names are showing on there, but they have been captured. Councillor Mrs. Burr?
Yeah, I was just saying, I'm not there, I'm not voting.
Yeah, I can see on the screen that it is showing 10 votes for, 10 against, so I think that you are actually being, your vote's being captured, it's just not being displayed on the screen. Okay, it's fortunate because we are unanimous, so it may be that we need the committee clerk to confirm who's voted for, who's voted against, when we come on to more contentious items where there isn't a unanimous vote. Okay, thank you, members. So moving on to agenda item 15, which is the Moulton to Pickering cycle route. Okay, this is contained on page 317 of your agenda papers. Okay, so the officer recommendation is that we approve funding for up to £75,000 from general reserves to towards the cost of the project development. Okay. Now, there is a bit of an update on this item, in that North Yorkshire County Council have indicated that they may be willing to joint fund this to the sum of £15,000. So that's a recent development. It's not yet confirmed, but there have been indications to that effect.
Sorry, Chairman, could we just, is that
50015? Sorry, clearly I'm having an issue pronouncing my numbers this evening. Okay. So, do members have any questions to ask on this agenda item? Okay. So, no, in which case, I will move the officer recommendation as chairman of the committee. And so that is being seconded by the Vice Chairman, Councillor Arnold. Do members wish to speak on this agenda item? Okay. No, in which case, I'll just quickly add that I will be abstaining this evening because I am yet to decide whether this is a good use of taxpayers' money, considering that the project is so speculative at this stage and there is absolutely no guarantee that it will go ahead should we invest £75,000, which, may I add, is coming from our general reserve. And the thing with general reserves is that they can only be spent once. I would like to see how this item pans out before making a final decision at full council. So I will be abstaining this evening. Thank you. So we will now proceed to the vote.
That's 5 votes for and 5 abstentions.
Thank you. So the recommendation is carried and that will go on to full council for a final decision, with it being a Part B item. Okay. Councillor Mr. Bailey.
I'm pushing all the wrong buttons now. Sorry. If I got my act together in time to ask a question. I just wondered if our officer could have told us what he thought the chances of success were.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Bailey. We've now moved on past this item, but as a one-off, and I don't want to flood of questions now, I will allow Mr. Rudd to answer the question.
Thank you very much. There are no guarantees. However, my opinion is that if you want this project to take place, you won't get a better opportunity of getting the funding for this. So it's European funding. It's still available. This type of project really, really struggles when it comes to funding for infrastructure and growth, because the outputs in terms of houses built and jobs created just don't begin to compare. It can't really compete unless it's in a specialist niche funding situation such as this. So we got a positive response to our expression of interest. There was some guidance in with that. Of course, it does involve speculation, but the indications are positive without being able to give you any guarantee.
Thank you. Okay, so we are now proceeding on to agenda item 4, which is to approve the recommendations from the Resources Working Party meeting. Okay. So it is on pages 11 to 12 of the agenda papers. Okay, and so the first one is to adopt the recommendations from the Resources Working Party meeting on the 7th of September 2017. Okay, as Chairman, I move that the recommendations from the Resources Working Party be accepted. Is that seconded? Thank you. So the Vice Chairman has seconded. Do members wish to speak on this agenda item? Okay. So in which case, as it has been moved and seconded, we will now proceed to the vote.
It's 10 votes for.
Thank you, so that the recommendation is unanimous. We will now proceed to consider the recommendations from the Grants Working Party held on the 11th of September 2017. So, as the Chairman of the Grants Working Party, I will ask Councillor Arnold to move the recommendation one by one. So we'll deal with the community grants, we will then deal with the flood grants, and we'll deal with the Section 106 grants. If there are any questions on this item, they will be directed to the chairman of that working party, who is of course Councillor Arnold. So Councillor Arnold, please can you move first of all the community grants item.
I'd like to move the recommendations on page 15 of the community grants. Do you have a seconder? Thank you. Anybody want to ask any questions? Well, I'm going to start. I'll start at one at a time. Where is it?
17. That's where they're all listed.
Yeah. Community grants application, first of all. Has anybody got any questions on those? Councillor Baird?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I think it's just a general question, really. It's in the percentage column, and it's just when we give grants out, how do we actually decide on the percentage? Is it what the applicant is asking for, or is it a decision that we make? I'm just looking because there's quite an anomaly where Helmsley have got 100% and then, you know, Kirby Merseyside has got 2%, and it was just something that I just wanted to ask. Maybe it's because of how they ask for it.
It is. It's how they ask for it and how the committee decides as well. It's how they ask for it, because if it's a huge amount, they're not going to get the whole amount, are they? So it's a percentage of what they ask for.
And could I ask? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you're saying is that we haven't got a policy of how we deal with the grants, or is it an ad hoc policy? Or
it seems to be. It is a policy, and I can't remember what it is at the moment. So I have to seek advice, I'm afraid.
That's fine, if the officers could maybe.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can you anybody help me with that? Because I can't remember.
Yvette, would you be able to assist, please?
Mm-hmm.
Sir, we will get a microphone across to you.
Well, that's the 106 money.
Thank you. So if the applicants have a project which has got a value up to £1,000, they can ask for up to 100% of the value of that project. But if the project has a value which is over £1,000, then they can only have up to £5,000 or up to 25% of the value of the project. So the one that you're referring to there, Councillor Burr, which is the Kirby Moorside band room, I think, it's because their project is very large, so they've asked for the maximum allowable, which is £5,000.
That's great, thank you, Chairman. It's fine, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wondered, based on the amounts that we're giving out, and I don't have a problem with it, but how are we confident that these funds are already matched to what we give before we give the money? Thank you.
Happy with that one?
So we'll now vote on that one.
Can we now vote on that one, please? Mrs. Cowley.
That's unanimous.
That's unanimous, thank you. Can we now look at the flood grant scheme, please? Anybody have any questions on the flood grant scheme? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Again, it's the 54% I was going to ask about, but we obviously all know about the flooding problems in the area. But what I would like to know is about the actual pump. Who will it belong to? Is it ensured that it's for Moulton? Because that was the problem.
That it was purely for the use of Moulton and the Broby one as well. I was informed it was purely for the use of Broby.
And the supplementary, have we got that in writing, and is that absolutely belt and braces?
From what I can gather, yes.
Would you be able to send me confirmation of that?
Is that correct?
It's condition of the ground.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, that's good, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I've got no problem with giving these monies for these projects. But obviously, if they are pumps, they will come with a requirement to make sure they're serviced and kept in working order. Who is responsible for that? And do we have any redress from the council for that?
Not us. Their responsibility. John?
No one can determine where flooding is going to take place or where the rain is going to rain and come down. It moves about as it will. If Broby isn't inundated with floodwater and a neighbour in the community is a facility or ability for that to be transferred to be used in another location?
Well, it hasn't been discussed whether they can use it. The implication was that it was purely for the use of Broby because it's a fixed pump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. As far as I'm aware, the responsibility for flooding of any description depends on where the water's coming from, as in, is it surface water, is it drain water, and so on. And as far as I can see from these, if it's flood defences in Moulton and Norton and Broby, a great deal of the responsibility for the water coming off will be with North Yorkshire Highways and Yorkshire Water. So are they putting any money into this as well, as it is in the main their responsibility?
No. Can we vote, please? Val, did you want to speak? He seconded it. Did you second it? No, we haven't had a seconder, so you need to second it.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was the first item. That was the first item. Yes, we are voting now. Normal, you're okay.
It's unanimous.
Item is 106 grants. Will you second that, Mrs. Arnold? Because I'll move it. Councillor Wayback.
Well, I was wondering why the Slingsby sports field application was deferred.
More information.
Right.
About normally we don't normally not give any grants out, but sometimes we need to look a little bit further as why they want it and what they're going to do with it, and that's why it was deferred.
Right.
With the intention if they want to bring it back. Councillor Burr.
Chairman, Moulton Town Council, and it's regarding Lady Springwood and Riverside. That's 57%, and we need to support this project. But it says here members recommended 19%. Could you just give me any more details? You were there, obviously.
I wasn't.
Thank you.
I was. It was felt that it was an awful lot of money, and we needn't give all that much money to it. We should not give it all to them. They should have a bit more work themselves into it.
So, is that where the discretion came in, or was that a departure from the policy then, like what we've just been told?
Different policies is 106 money.
Right, so
that's
this
community
was
grants money.
Oh, right, okay. That's so what is our policy? What is our policy for the 106 then? Is that discretion?
Yes.
Pure member discretion.
Member discretion, because we questioned it, the report, we looked through the report, and sometimes we think they haven't put enough into it sometimes. And so we send it back, and they can always come back for a little bit more another time.
So you decided to give it 19%?
Yes.
Not
the
what
committee
they
did.
Yeah. Sorry, Chairman. Yeah. Not what they requested.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Yeah. Jim?
Thank you, Chairman. I just like to say that the ample force 106s that came from David Wilson Homes, it's nice to see that going forward. It did get caught in a sort of transitional period between one process and the other, but as a world member, I'm very happy with the proposals that you've come to here.
Thank you. Go on.
Thank you. Just a quick comment. I'm pleased to see that the application from the Moulton Community Sports Centre has been deferred, and that's in relation to a grant for £220,000 towards a fitness suite. So there are currently several different fitness suites available in the Malton and Norton conurbation. You've got one which is available at Norton College, so that's a public facility. You've got one at our own facility, which is managed by an external party at Derwent Pool. You've got one which is managed in Malton. Well, you've got two that are then also managed in Malton Town Centre. I would be sceptical whether it is a good use of public money to put money towards a fitness suite when there are already so many fitness suites in the area, and particularly as some of them have had private money invested in them, and there are individuals trying very hard to run a business, and I don't think it would be the best use of public money to spend something on another facility which is already duplicating what's already there and is to the detriment of private enterprises which are trying very hard to succeed. So I'm pleased to see that's been deferred, and I hope the working party will take that into consideration when they next consider the item. Thank you.
Thank you. That was mentioned at the committee meeting.
Okay.
But it was deferred because the business plan's not up to date, so we felt it needed to have a more up-to-date business plan.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, on that point, I hope that the committee, when it does come back, I hope that the committee looks upon this favourably. I do understand what the Norton member says, but what you've got to remember is we have got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new homes that have been built in the Malton and in the Norton area. And to say about good use of public money, it is good use of public money because it would cost a lot more money if we had to have people in hospitals. So I think what you've got to do as a committee is you've got to balance this when you actually make your decisions. And what you've got to remember is that, yes, Norton College, yes, the swimming pool, they are very, very tiny. And, you know, when you go, it's really difficult to get onto something. And that is like local knowledge. So you just need to be aware that, yes, there are others, but please, please don't think that we've got too many because we haven't. And think about the huge amount of houses that have just gone into Norton and Malton. If I could just... Thank you, that would be great, Chairman.
Councillor Cowling.
I think we do need to remember the origins of this money, and it is Section 106 money, and it is about providing not only public open space but recreational facilities for local people where development has taken place. So I hope we'll give due consideration to that when this comes back.
Yeah.
It is money which is meant to be spent in Malton.
Thank you, Councillor Cowling. Anybody else? Do you wish to speak?
No, thank you, Chairman.
Can we go to the vote then, please?
That's 9 votes for and 1 abstention.
Thank you. Thank
you. Okay, thank you very much indeed, Councillor Arnall, for handling that item. So we're now going to proceed on to the Creative Economy Commissioning, which is Agenda Item 10, and is outlined on pages 155 to 170 of your agenda papers. Okay, so the officer recommendation is to approve the commissions detailed in Annex A of the report. Are there any questions on this item? No, in which case, as chairman of this committee, I will move the officer recommendation. Is that seconded? Thank you. Do members wish to speak on this item? Okay, Councillor Mrs. Cowling.
We've used this approach to invest within our creative economy for a number of years now, and I think the outturn from the investment that we've put into our creative economy has been well documented and well understood. Its relationship to our tourism offer and the people that it brings into the district I think, can't be underestimated. The support for what can be people who are trying to make a living, a self-employed, just one-man bands, I think cannot be underestimated, the help that we give through this process. And also larger organisations. We've talked earlier about the Milton Rooms. We also contribute towards developments within Dolly Forest. We have in the past helped our museums. I think to underestimate what this money produces for Rydale as a tourism destination would be a very dangerous thing to do.
Councillor Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. I've got quite a bit to say. For a change. The creative economy, council priorities, sustainable growth, capitalising on our culture, leisure and tourism opportunities. This is achieved through our economic action plan, maximising the economic impact of festivals and events in Rydale. Advice and guidance to arts and heritage practitioners and social enterprises, including support for external funding bids for investment. Working with the Milton Rooms Management Committee to implement a phased approach to development of the Milton Rooms as a sustainable cultural hub for Southern Rydale. A programme of investments by the Forestry Commissioner to Dolby Forest to significantly increase visitors' numbers. In 2012, the Commissioning Board undertook a review of its support for the creative economy in order to establish clear reasoning for investment in this sector and ensure the best value was achieved. The report detailing the recommendations from the review was agreed in January 2013. This included that the commissioning process provided the opportunity to design a new creative economy service as part of the wider commitment to supporting the creation of jobs. This would reflect the council priorities and would mean that some existing aspects of the service provided could be decommissioned and the others were endorsed. Support was refocused from ongoing grants for core costs to key organisations and towards investment in activity which strengthened the sector by delivering on five key priorities agreed by members. For 2017-18, this work began in April and a number of delivery organisations have engaged in the alternative process, working with RDC officers to ensure that their delivery proposals are effective. Good value for money and offer strong in outcomes for sector development. This process has engaged the requirement of the organisations to make time significant commitments to the projects themselves development. This process is part of Rydale District Council's Economic Action Plan, and the two of the organisations are also named major projects, the Milton Rooms and Dolby Forest. The Arts Council has indicated that if the withdrawal support from local authority areas that are disinvested will withdraw their support. Lottery investment in Rydale for the arts has exceeded £17 million. Dolby Forest Artworks has created Arts Council investment of £30,000 and Rydale Book Festival, we invested £500, gained an investment of £14,186. Just a bit of data for you. 78% of Rydale's residents visit heritage sites and 47% of the local population visit museums. 47.7% of residents attended a creative cultural event and 43% participated in a creative activity. Rydale has 7 accredited museums, 525 scheduled ancient monuments and over 200 creative businesses and more than 15 professional arts organisations. And I won't read the rest of it, but just to finish, the UK's creative industries are now worth a record £84.1 billion to the UK economy. Creative economy is one of 5 key sectors for the development in a government green paper on industrial strategy in 2017. Thank you.
Councillor Wainwright.
I know the class is a question, but are we leaving the Milton Rooms £12,000 in there?
The Milton Rooms £12,000 is currently in the officer recommendation, right. So it will be included, and it wasn't dealt with previously under the other item.
Right.
Councillor Raper.
Thank you. Well, I can't praise the officer that wrote this report enough for the contribution she's made to the creative economy in Rydale. Especially what's taking part in Dalby Forest at the present time with the creation of a humongously large maze made of stone, dry stone walling. I'd taken the opportunity to pop up there and carve my initials onto a piece of stone, which took a couple of hours one Sunday morning. That stone is going to be put and placed into a wall. It's going to stand there for at least 1,000, maybe a few more thousand years. We don't know how long it's going to stay there. It's going to be there literally forever as far as most of us are concerned. It's something you can brag about, but you get bragging rights to, in a sense, and so I'm taking the opportunity now. It's a fantastic morning or afternoon. You choose your time, you can go up and spend some time. You're tutored, you're not left to your own devices entirely, and you're watched keenly and shown exactly what you should be doing and how you should be doing it. And if you go and jigger it up, they'll come and rescue you. So you have a stone with your initials on, and it gets put into that wall. That maze, when it is finished, excuse the pun, is going to be absolutely amazing. It's going to be huge. People are going to take an awful lot of time getting extricated themselves out of it once they get into it. But there'll be people around, I believe, going to go around and guide people out who are saying that they're lost. I've already planned out my route on the path that was given, how to progress through it. It's a fantastic venture, Chairman. Art in this area is undervalued, I think, by a lot of people. I was sorry to see the art exhibition that was held in the Milton Rooms go, and our involvement in that was withdrawn, because a lot of people got a lot of enjoyment out of that. And I know officers got a lot of enjoyment out of running it, even though, in a sense, it was in their own time for some of them. I'd like to see if we can think about bringing that back. It's a loss to this community, it's a loss to us, it's a loss to the Milton Rooms. It enhances the Milton Rooms and it enhances us. Art does that for you. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Very briefly, I fully support the creative economy, but I think what we're very poor at doing in Rydale is not shouting about how good we actually are. I mean, it's amazing what goes on in Rydale. And I think going back to saying about the Milton Rooms and having someone driving it forward, I think this is a clear example of where we need to give credit to our officers who really do put on amazing things and are amazed by residents of what there is in the area. So fully support this report, and I think it's been said by all members just how lucky we are in Rydale.
Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. From what people have been saying, I think they obviously do realise, but I'm sure a lot of people in this district don't realise how many artists and artisans there actually are in this area. They're a massive number. If anybody goes and looks at the open studios, they'll realise the quality of a lot of the work. An awful lot of the arts events and things revolving around that, it's done by volunteers. The value for money from this sector must be absolutely massive when you consider the amount of money that goes into it,
the number of people who get their employment out of this, and you may not realise that artists in the main must be some of the poorest paid people. If you look at the work that goes into a piece of art and what it would sell for, and compare that to sort of the money per hour that goes into it, a lot of them wouldn't be getting minimum wage. So I can heartily support all this, especially considering that the visitors to this area, the tourists, it's a lot of it is what they want to go and see, and they do go and see. Thank you.
Councillor Mrs. Arnold.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Just to say that I 100% support this recommendation, and just noting Councillor Potter's remarks about the art in particular in Rydale. The talent is wonderful. My bank balance is very low. Thank you.
Do members have anything else to say? I'd just like to speak on this item myself, and I completely get the value of creative economy commissioning, but the finances of this council have changed significantly over the past few years. We have to make savings of £600,000 next year, and another £400,000 leading to 2020. That's £1 million which is coming out of our budget on top of significant cuts that we've already faced. Only in the past year we've had to make a significant number of people redundant. Now, in view of those changing finances, there has to be a question of whether this council can now afford to continue with the same level of funding towards creative economy and grants. I'm very conscious that this evening we face a large number of items that require money. And oh yes, wouldn't it be wonderful to give more money to this, more money to that, but at the end of the day, someone's got to pay, and that person is you. Now, we have reserves that we have spent a lot of years working very hard to save up, to try to weather the storm ahead. I would not like us to see this council go spending on a spending spree right when we're about to face Brexit, right when we're about to face £1 million worth of cuts. And I do not think now is the time to go spending £55,000 on creative economy when this council faces considerable challenges ahead. Okay, I will come to Councillor Billy as he's not spoken.
Thank you, Chairman. I fully understand the concern about keeping a good tight rein on spending, but I must say I think that this is an investment, actually. Yeah. I think it's an investment. Yeah.
Councillor Goodwick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm to the disappointment of my colleagues, I think I have to agree with you. And as somebody who's been involved in the creative economy now for nearly 10 years, I've never asked for any money from anybody. And a lot of the people I work with and work with me don't ask for any money from anybody. So you live by your sword, you die by your sword. Sorry.
Councillor Wainwright.
Chairman, a scrutiny review, maybe going back 3 or 4 years now, where we looked at grants and what good they did for our economy. I think we found, and it was proven, that priming with a small amount of money produced a lot of money for our economy here in Rydale. And I think we'd be very wrong to stop giving small grants to people to help them get on the way.
Thank you. We're now going to vote. I will come back to Councillor Arnold, but then we're going to the vote.
I just want to say, as a trustee of Helmsley Arts Centre, happy that I vote, or would you like me not to vote?
Yes,
you vote. Okay.
Okay, as the recommendation has been moved and seconded, we will now proceed to the vote. Thank you. I ask that my vote be recorded, please. Moving on to agenda item 13, which relates to CCTV provision. Okay, so it is on pages 305 to 312 of your agenda papers. It's agenda item 13. Okay? So... Okay, just to confirm that the current recommendation is that this council... Excuse me, sorry, are we all okay? So the recommendation is that a grant of £22,000 for Rydell Cameras in Action for be approved for CCTV upgrades and it is funded from the new Hearnsburnus Reserve. And the recommendation is also that Rydell District Council will not be involved in the purchase or administration of Town Centre CCTV system upgrade project. Are there any questions on this report? No? In which case, sorry, Councillor Raper.
Thank you. Seems to be a conflict of speak in if we're proposing to put 22,000 in and that we're having nothing to do with the upgrade, why are we putting the 22,000 in?
It's a grant, so we won't be responsible for administering the upgrade. We won't be doing that ourselves. We will give a grant to the Rydell Cameras in Action group for them to do the upgrade. Any other questions? Councillor, Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I can't believe we're back on CCTV. I thought this council had made a decision a number of years ago not to go back here, but we are where we are. Given that, I'd like to know what application has been made to the PCC for funding.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're not able to answer that as we're not the Police and Crime Commissioner Authority. I do not believe they are getting funding. But I may be completely wrong on this, but I do not know the answer to that question, nor do the officers know the answer to that question, so I cannot defer to them. Thank you. Councillor Bailey.
So, Chairman, it might be a silly question, but is that... we were just given out nearly half a million grants and new homes bonus. Is this something that would class as a community benefit that might tap into that fund?
Okay, thank you, Councillor Bailey. So, Council has sought advice on this, and originally an application was made to the Community Grants Fund. However, because the requirement is of a large sum of money, if this came out to the Community Grants Fund, it would be almost equivalent to half of the monies available within that fund. Now, I have asked officers to seek professional advice on the issue of whether we could use Section 106 funding and to contribute towards this. Now, as CCTV does not relate wholly to amenity or wholly towards sports provision, it is not possible to fund all of the grant from Section 106. However, it is possible to fund part of the grant from the 106 fund that relates to sports facilities. The reason for that is I believe a couple of cameras are in the vicinity of a sports facility. I can advise you that I will be moving an amendment this evening which will change it so that some funding is coming from Section 106. Councillor, Mrs. Goodrick, you have already asked a question, and I stated at the beginning of the meeting that I would prefer one question plus a supplementary. Okay. So we will now. Sorry, Councillor Bailey, you are allowed a supplementary. You are allowed a supplementary.
Thank you. So thank you for that reply. So just on that same vein about can 106 money fund canvas on a community basis, do they have to apply for it, or do we allocate it to them?
So under the Section 106 process and the community grants process, they have to apply to us. An application was considered by the Grants Working Party, and you know, for the reasons given that it was considered a large sum of money, it has instead been decided to take it from New Homes Bonus Reserve as a recommendation. Like I said, advice has been sought, and we could change it so that we use Section 106 funding, and an amendment will be coming forward to that effect. They applied, when they applied for grant funding, they didn't actually specify which pot they wanted it to go into. They just wanted it from any pot. And because the only a very small amount could come from Section 106, it went forward as a community grant application. Because of the sums involved, that was rejected by the committee, and instead it came forward as a New Homes Bonus application. But as I stated, we can allocate some funding from Section 106, which is the intention. Thank you. Okay, if the supplementary relates to the original question, if it relates to the original question, I will allow it. Thank you.
On the basis that we don't know whether there's been an application made to the PCC, can we establish if there's been an application made? And if they haven't, why haven't they? And when are they going to find out whether they've got it?
Just bear with me. Okay, just to confirm, if you refer to item 6.2.2 of the officer report, it states that further and ongoing fundraising is underway for revenue costs, particularly targeting local businesses that benefit from CCTV coverage and North Yorkshire Police via the Police and Crime Commissioner's CCTV Working Group, on which Rydell Cameras in Action are represented. So no funding has been committed to date, but representations are ongoing. Okay. Okay, so now, as the chairman of the committee, I will move the officer recommendation. Is that seconded? Thank you, Councillor Arnold. So, as I discussed when answering a question, I do intend to move an amendment, which the committee clerk will distribute now. Okay, thank you, members. So just to confirm, I will be moving, and the Vice Chairman is seconding, an amendment, which is that Council approve the following. So this will still need to go before full Council, that a grant of £22,000 for Rydell Cameras in Action for CCTV system upgrade be given, of which £19,000 be funded from the New Homes Bonus Reserve and £2,900 from Section 106 relating to the provision and or improvement to youth and or adult sports facilities within the vicinity of land within Moulton and Norton. And there is also a slight change to the wording of Little 2, and to make clear that Rydell will not be involved in this on an ongoing basis, so it is a one-off grant, and it just makes that slightly more explicitly clear. So the reason why I'm moving this recommendation forward is currently we have got a significant amount of Section 106 funds available for the provision of sports facilities within the vicinity of Moulton and Norton. the vast number of cameras will be within the vicinity of Malton and Norton, and given that this council has worked incredibly hard to save up its new homes bonus, I think it is preferable that the funding come from 106, which has remained in that pot of funding for quite a long time. It is unfortunate, in my opinion, that we cannot use more of Section 106, but because, as I stated earlier, some of the the majority of CCTV is not in the vicinity of a sports facility, we cannot legally do that. Okay? So this is taking it from a fund that relates specifically to Malton and Norton, and I think that is the best place where it should come from. Alright, so that is the reason why I am moving the recommendation. Councillor Arnold, a seconder, do you wish to speak?
No, I don't.
Do other members wish to speak on this amendment? Councillor Mrs. Cowling. So, as Councillor Bailey indicated earlier, Rydell Cameras in Action did apply for all the grants, so they didn't specify on their application form which grant they were applying for. They didn't say if it's community grant or Section 106. They just wanted grant funding toward it. Okay, so they have applied. It was rejected because of the amount that would have to come from community grants, but this is a way of getting a bit from Section 106 and then using the remainder amount from New Homes Bonus Reserve. They did put an application in. Yes, and it was refused because to come from community grants solely, it would require £22,000, which would take everything out of the community grants pot. That's why it was refused, and instead it's coming from New Homes Bonus Reserve. But that's not to say we can't use a small amount from the Section 106, which can be used for this purpose. This amendment has been discussed with officers, and it is legally sound. Councillor Mrs. Goodwick.
Thank you, Chairman. If we do this, are we absolutely categoric now that this is it for CCTV? Because I don't want to see it here again. We made that decision some time ago at full council that we were not doing this, and it's back again. I think it needs a little three that says this is the final contribution that this council will make.
Okay, just to confirm that this is a one-off contribution towards the capital cost of running the CCTV. This council will not, as it states, be involved in the purchase of the town centre CCTV or the administration of the system or payment of invoices following upgrade. So it is a one-off grant. Obviously, this committee cannot prevent council from subsequently making decisions in the future, which is inherent to democracy, that you can, after an election, decide which way to go. But it is, at this moment in time, a one-off grant, and there is absolutely no assertion whatsoever that this council will make contributions towards ongoing revenue costs or be involved in the running of this item. Thank you. Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. Pleased with the Councillor Goodrick's comment and yourself in the reply to that. I'm firmly of the opinion that funding for cameras should be from the police budget, regardless of what anybody else might consider. But I also recognise the value of CCTV in assisting, not us, but the community in feeling safe within their communities, as a feel-good factor, a safety factor that people appreciate from that. But this, as far as I'm concerned, and antisocial behaviour or crime, is firmly in the ballpark of the Police and Crime Commissioner to fund as he sees fit, or he sees fit subsequent to here. I don't think it should be a council operation or a council-funded operation. We have other things to do. We are being distracted, in a sense, on this heading. So I'm going to support your amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Raper. Councillor Mrs. Boer.
Thank you, Chairman. It's just a question, really, before I speak. regarding the cameras, and I note that obviously the words is youth and adult sports facilities, and I get why we've done that, but could you tell me where the cameras are going to be? Are they going to be in town or just around sports facilities? Sorry, I'm just... Are they? I'd like to know exactly.
Okay, so the two cameras that are affected by this, there is one near the level crossing, which covers the skate park, and there is one near Morrison's, which once again can be aimed towards the skate park, which is a sports facility aimed towards the youth of Rydell. Okay, now in order for young people to feel safe at that facility, I think it's important that we do have CCTV there, and so this is enabling the continuation of that facility for young people in Rydell, which is why I believe it's very important that we use Section 106 towards it, so that new young people who are moving into the area as a result of new homes can continue to enjoy the provision of the skate park.
It's just for clarity, really. I just want to get it clear that is 22,000 then for the two cameras, or is it? Could you just explain to me, please?
Okay, so £22,000 is towards the overall cost of the project. Only 2,900 relate to the two cameras that are in the vicinity of the skateboard park. So all the other cameras are not near sports facilities, therefore they cannot come from the Section 106 fund. So 19,100, which relates to the other CCTV cameras, will come from New Homes Bonus Reserve, and 2,900 from Section 106.
Thank you, Chairman. So if I can be allowed to speak now, and thank you very much for that clarity. That really, really helps. Now, I was one of those councillors that really was disappointed, very, very disappointed, when we didn't decide to support Cameras in Action. So I'm, unlike some other members, I'm really pleased that we're actually supporting this. I think that, and Councillor Raper has touched on this, that I think having working cameras in our towns, Moulton and Norton, gives people gives people a huge amount of confidence. And what I would like to say is that it assists the police so much when crimes are committed in our local area. And we did have a terrible incident in Norton, and if it hadn't have been for the CCTV cameras, the perpetrator wouldn't have been caught. And I really, really do hear what everybody is saying, that why should we do this, etc., etc. But surely it's for the whole of the community, and I personally feel that it is a good way of spending money. It wouldn't bother me if we had to help them out every year, but I hear what you say, that it's a one-off. I like the play on words where you've got, you know, £3,000 more because you've put in that, and we can get that from 106. So I've no problem with that, and I completely understand why you've done it. And it does help the youth when they are there. I actually think that this is really good, and I'm pleased to see it back on the agenda. So I will be supporting this.
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Burr. And do either any other members wish to speak on this item? We are on the amendment at the moment. Okay. So, as the amendment is moved and seconded, we will now proceed to the vote.
There's 9 votes for and 1 against. That's carried.
Thank you. I just wish to briefly speak on the substantive issue as a whole. So, as Councillor Mrs. Burr alluded to, we did have a tragic incident in Norton several years ago, in which the perpetrator was caught as a direct result of CCTV. Now, the amount, as far as I'm concerned, that paid for CCTV for the next century. But also the amount that must have saved in police investigation costs would also have been substantial as well. And as CCTV mainly relates to the detection of crime, I believe that ultimately it should be the Police and Crime Commissioner that steps forward. I would hate to be in a situation where we do not have CCTV, which is why I am very happy to support this funding towards the capital upfront cost of CCTV. And what's great about this proposal is that we will receive a better level of service, which is monitored 24/7 using Scarborough. It's also delivering more modern, affordable cameras, so it's lowering the maintenance cost. But ultimately, I think it should be for the either the communities that are directly affected or the Police and Crime Commissioner to come forward and fund the CCTV on a regular basis. Because I believe it should be them who fund it, it does not mean whatsoever I do not value CCTV. And that is why, like I said, I'm fully supporting this capital contribution, because what CCTV has done for Moulton and Norton, particularly with that tragic incident, is profound. So I will be supporting this motion. Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. We're on the main substantive now, so I can come back about the town centre, the risk matrix that we've got on page 312. And the Rydale Cameras in Action is not engaged with the Safer Rydale delivery team. I think that is absolutely outstandingly and amazingly bad for the people of Rydale, if that is true, that they do not take another reaction, an interaction. If that is wrong, please shout at me now so I can stop. But if that is a correct on that page, that Riker does not engage or is not engaged with the Safer Rydale team, is that accurate?
That is the risk that it happens. It's not to say it is the case, it's not to say it's going to happen, so it's saying there is a risk that if that does happen, this is the consequence and this is how we can mitigate against it.
Sorry, I'm taking it that there isn't the risk, that was the fact. So I will not say any more on that one, Chairman, but I was just making sure that wasn't the case.
Councillor Bailey.
Well, just briefly, Chairman. I agree with you that I think this is a police thing, and I think that the incident that we had, and in general, the general threat, if you like, in this country, has increased since the police decided that cameras weren't important to them. Or that they weren't going to fund them. And so I think that maybe there is a time that they should reassess that. That's for them, not us. But I just wonder on the section 106, I mean, if I was a young person in Moulton, I'd want to be able to walk to the sports facility, down the various high streets, I'd want to set off and to be guided safely by cameras to my sports facility. And I wonder if that would make those cameras enabling sport and recreation in the same way. I'd just like to, not for here and now, but I think we could push a little bit harder at the Section 106 funding for that.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodwick.
Thank you, Chairman. Just in case anybody wonders, I'm not against cameras per se. What I do believe is what you've highlighted this evening is that this is a police matter. This is for the detection of crime. And at the end of the day, the police authority levy their own precept on our electorate, or residents, if you like. And I just think this is, they should be paying for it out of that precept. And frankly, the Police and Crime Commission's had her camera van in Flaxton 40 times in 10 weeks and created a great deal of revenue. I fail to see why she can't fund the cameras.
Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. I'm aware that Pickering Town Council gave up on these cameras because of the lack of evidence of benefit or even being monitored properly. But if
looking at 6.1.2, the purpose of town centre CCTV is to assist in the detection and prevention of crime. This is a police matter. Provide evidential material to assist police investigations. A police matter. Deter those having criminal intent. Police matter. Reduce the fear of crime and give confidence to the public there in a secure environment. Police matter. Provide safer communities. Police matter. I won't go down the last four, but they're all police matters. Now, the police appear to have had no problem in funding a whole raft of new cameras in recent months to facilitate Third Energy in the fracking industry. A lot of them in very remote locations. So, only a minutes ago, you yourself, Chairman, were saying that we don't have an awful lot of money to be handing out everywhere. And I very much support Councillor Goodrick's view that this is a police matter, because I think there are far more valuable things that Rydale needs to spend its money on than this. I do believe there is a valid need for CCTV, but paid for by the police.
Thank you, Councillor Potter. Councillor Mrs. Cowling.
I think we all agree that it should be the police who fund this, and I don't think you can argue against that at all. What I think we also, most of us agree, is that there is a need for CCTV. Unfortunately, the police just absolutely refuse to fund that. And were it not for the volunteers who run Rydale Cameras in Action, for the town councils and the such as Pickering in Business and Moulton and Norton Chamber of Trade, we wouldn't have CCTV. So, like we usually do in Rydale, where there's a proven need for the benefit of the residents of Rydale, we step in and fill that gap if we can. There are lots of things, like pumps at Broby, that are the responsibility of other authorities, but as always, it ends upon our doorstep. We do, yes, Lindsay, we do what's right for our residents.
We do what's right.
Thank you. Okay, so as the motion is moved and seconded, we will now proceed to the vote.
That's 9 votes for and 1 against. That's carried.
Thank you. As we have now been in committee for 2 hours, I would like to have a very short refreshment break, and I will aim to restart very quickly at 8:30 prompt. Okay, members, I did say 8:30 once, so I have been quite lenient. We are now going to recommence the committee meeting. So we are now going to turn to the issue of the asset review. Now, the report has been exempt, and so we're now going to turn to agenda item 11, which is exempt information. However, I've just conferred with the interim chief executive, and I believe it is in the public interest that we have the debate in public but exempt the report. So the financials and the costings, which are sensitive and there is a public interest, in my opinion, to keep an exempt, will remain an exempt, but I believe the wider debate as a whole, I believe it should be in public and there's a public interest for that. Okay, so therefore, as chairman, I will be moving that we exempt the report but debate in public. Is that seconded? Okay, do any members wish to speak on that on what I've just moved? Councillor Bailey.
Does that mean that there's things about the report that we can't say?
When it comes to financials and potential tendering, and particularly as we've named some partners in the report, I would keep that subject, I wouldn't mention it directly in this debate. I don't know if the interim chief executive wishes to add anything.
We actually took this approach last time we considered the assets report. There is information in relating to valuations and things associated with the report, and we wouldn't want to be, they are commercially sensitive, so we wouldn't want to be discussing those openly. And also there are some illustrative figures in there relating to possible combinations of options, which I think we also wouldn't want to be openly talking about.
Councillor Mrs Cowley. Councillor Mrs Cowley. Councillor Mrs Goodrick.
Chairman, we are, and I've read the recommendation, and this is just an informative report. We're not making any commitments in anything. We're not spending any of the council money in doing this. We are just taking this forward and moving it along. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes, so at the council meeting in July, this council made a decision that it will not make any decisions regarding the assets until the next calendar year. Which is currently the case. What this report does, however, is provide an update on the work that's ongoing in the background and outlines the timetable regarding the decision-making once we enter the new calendar year. So it's providing an update to members. It is not providing a decision, and indeed members cannot make any decisions this evening due to the previous decision of council in July. Councillor Raper.
Not completely happy about your proposal for half and half. The potential for a trip is exponential, and I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of that. Thank you.
Councillor Mrs. Arnold.
Can I just clarify, Chairman, that with reference to the decision made by Council, this will be at the beginning of the year, not well into the year.
Yes, if you refer to the agenda papers, it does set out the timetable, which is the briefing regarding the budget in January, then it goes on to Resources Working Party, then it goes on to Policy Resources Committee, and then finally it's dealt with at Budget Council. So it goes through that full process to allow maximum scrutiny.
To that timetable to get it done as soon as we can. Thank you.
Councillor Mrs Burr.
Thank you, Chairman.
Sorry, can I just confirm as well, we're talking on the issue of whether we go exempt or not at the moment. I'll deal with the asset report when we get onto it. So, sorry to be preemptive, but just to reiterate, it's to do with the exempt.
It's okay.
I was coming here tonight because this was exempt. And I think it's right and proper that it's on the agenda, and I think people need to know that we are looking at our assets and discussing and talking and thinking about how this council moves forward. I'm not absolutely sure that at this particular moment in time that it's appropriate to be discussing and talking hypothetically about things in open debate when there's quite a long time frame, things change. And I think sometimes you either get people's hopes up, get people's hopes down. I think sometimes it's put into the public domain, and sometimes really all we're doing is thinking about things and looking at different ways forward. I personally, and it's not because I certainly want to keep anything a secret, I don't, but I just think sometimes expectations can be raised or dashed, or people get sometimes thinking things are going to happen and then they don't. So I personally, tonight, for this particular item, it's either all or nothing. And I think that we should keep it as it is and keep it exempt, because obviously it is on the agenda that we are discussing in the future about our assets. That's just a very personal...
Okay, thank you. So, just to confirm, I have moved that the report remain exempt, but the debate be held in public, and we have had several debates on assets that have been held in public, including the last full council meeting, and we have taken this approach before. Of course, it is the gift of members that we could exempt the whole lot. However, we do need to adhere to certain requirements to keep items exempt. Now, if you wish this item to be exempt, I advise you to move an amendment to that effect, because if you vote against what I have just currently moved, it will mean that the whole lot will go open. So if you wish it to, because I have moved that we're going to exempt on the report, if that is voted against, then we aren't going into exempt on the report and everything becomes open. So you can amend my motion that we go completely into exempt. It isn't an amendment. I'm moving a motion. I'm moving It's not an amendment. I am moving a motion, in effect, that we keep the report exempt. Okay, and that we have the debate in public. That's what I'm moving, so there can be an amendment to this.
I just think it's making complicated. It came out I know you're looking in disgust at that. It came out as an exempt, and we are all expecting it to be exempt. You are going to move that. If it's either voted for, that's fine, that's what will happen. If it's voted down, we surely go back to exempt. I think it's just...
Okay, just to confirm, under agenda item 11, it states exempt information. Okay, so the report is currently exempt. If we wish to go into exempt at any time, we should move that we go exempt. So what I am stating is I am moving that we keep the report exempt, but have the debate in public. I believe, as a point of principle, wherever possible, we should be open to public scrutiny and the public should know what's going on. That is what I have moved. It is what's seconded. It's how, as chairman, I am dealing with this item. If you wish to move an amendment, please do so. Otherwise, we're going to the vote. Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. I will gladly move an amendment that we exempt for the whole of the documentation and the debate. Thank you. I'm looking for a second.
Thank you. So, as it's moved and seconded, can we now vote on that amendment that we go entirely exempt?
That's 7 votes for, 2 against, and 1 abstention.
Okay, thank you. So now we will vote on whether... So that's now become the substantive motion effect, so we're now going to vote on that. So can you please vote?
That's 8 votes for and 2 abstentions.
Thank you. So we will now go into exempt business, please.